Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day dear listeners, you're listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day Ross.
Ani rotze lishtot mashehu bavakasha. How about that?
I got bavakasha. I know what bavakasha is. What did you just say?
I said, I want to drink something, please. I want to drink something. Okay, now why did I say that? It wasn't to show off my beautiful Israeli accent as much as it was partly that, I have to admit, but it was partly to tell you to lead into a story from No Camels about three Israeli firms among Time Magazine's 50 genius companies in 2018.
Genius, you know, this magazine. Genius companies, yeah.
Genius companies. All yep, right. Yep, yep. So these are classified as businesses that are inventing the future. So in other words, these are companies that are changing the way we live. And so three Israeli companies made this top 50 list. And I'm just going to tell you the names of them. WeWork, ADOC, and Lishtot. There's our word, Lishtot, to drink. Now, this particular, it comes with an app. It comes with this tester. And anywhere in the world, you can test water. Their whole company spiel is, this is something that every one of us on earth share, and that is a need for fresh water. This tests for any contaminants that are found in the water. So you dip it in, you draw out some water, you can instantly determine whether or not water is safe to drink. This company, Lishtot, which means to drink, is one of the 50 top inventions, 50 genius companies. This rank number, it's in the top 50. I don't know.
It's in the top 50, but it's one of three Israeli companies. And yeah, as you say, Lishtot, Hebrew for to drink, develops products available to effectively and rapidly detect contaminants in drinking water without even touching it, Ross. Without even touching it, it does an amazing thing. What else is another one?
It's amazing. There's another one called ADOC, AI-powered images of organs that it's used to detect and to find disease in organs. Incredible devices being produced by AI-DOC, I guess, AI, artificial intelligence doctor. You know, so it's amazing what Israeli innovation is bringing.
These are companies that the BDS can't have. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman returns to Israel News Talk Radio on October 2nd at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Israeli Time. Political Hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Van Doren and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hey, Jono. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Thank you, my friend.
You're surprised to hear me. Right?
I am. I'm surprised that you
didn't even know if I'd make it a week.
You survived a week. And did you see any other critters there in the desert, in the southern desert of Israel?
No. And I'm even wondering, you know, maybe if I was hallucinating or something. It's been so peaceful and wonderful. And it's like, well, there aren't butterflies, but it's like that. That's the feeling you get. Rainbows and butterflies. It's just a sweet, peaceful desert again. Bridget told me the other day, I told her how nervous I was walking by those plants where I saw that serpent. She said, the snake's not just going to stay in that one spot. I think she meant to make me feel better, like don't worry about that one spot, but I was kind of hoping it would be in one spot so I know where the hell to stay away from. But it could be any now, it could be anywhere.
It could be. Well, I'm glad. Anyway, so the wild show is over, is what you're saying, that the display of wildlife in the Israeli desert is over. You've survived. There's no more camel spiders, scorpions, or snakes after you. Good to hear. Now
I guess it's good.
I, we We rarely do this. We get comments from time to time on our Facebook page, the Israel On My Mind Facebook page, and I was wondering if maybe we could have a look at a couple of those for the first segment.
Hey, let's do it. Let's do it, because it's always nice to hear from people. Sometimes we work real hard and we want to hear what they have to say. Was this a good comment or a bad comment?
This I'll let you know. Really nice comment. This is from Hinder Blass. Hinder Blass.
Okay.
And
hello, Hinder.
G'day, Hinder. Hinder says, on your last podcast, I was laughing so hard. Hinder said, you're both brilliant. Yes, that's true. We are so brilliant. Can you please?
Really, we really are.
We really are.
It's not recognized very often, but we really, really are.
Can you please tell me and others how you both teamed up? That's the first question. How did we both team up? What's your recollection?
I think you interviewed me on your show on Truth to You a couple of years ago, and we just really hit it off. I think we recognized the talent in each other's voices, and we just said, we really need to work together. We decided to do a tour together, as I recall, and that first time we talked, and we just sort of teamed up. It clicked, as they say. It clicked.
We realized how brilliant each other were, and we thought, oh, you're almost as brilliant as me. No, you're
that's right.
Just as brilliant, and so we just worked well together. That was 2015, I think, and we recorded as early as 2014 on our other my other platform, which is truthtoyou.org, truth2u.org. And as I recall, I do believe I did a couple of Jason and I did a couple of interviews with James Tabor, Dr. James Tabor.
That's right. That's right.
Interviewing him about his excellent book, Paul and Jesus, and also he's got numerous books, but another book that he wrote, Restoring Abrahamic Faith. And
right.
I recall during one of those conversations, he said, I've got to introduce you to my friend Ross Nichols. And out of that, I figured, well, I guess I better. And I'm glad that
that's
we
right.
did. Glad that we did. And we've been doing this program for some time. And we've been touring Israel on the Tanakh Tour each November ever since. By the way, Ross, tickets are now open for the 2019 November, I guess this is Tanakh Tour number 5.
That is incredible. I remember when we first started talking about this, we wondered, would we be able to fill a tour with people who were oriented towards the Tanakh and you know, because a lot of these other tours focus on other areas and other time frames. And we just wanted to do something associated or oriented towards the Hebrew Bible. And we've been pleasantly surprised. I think year after year, we have a nice group of people. Lifelong friends are made on these tours. And we get to see some really cool stuff.
We absolutely do. So you, myself, Rabbi Tovia Singer as well. And we'll be doing it this November. It's sold out. No one can come on that. But you can come on next year's tour by going to truthtoyou.org and clicking on the links. Now, Hinder continues, is it possible that the sound can be fixed when one of you is away from the studio because the quality was off kilter? It absolutely was. Actually, so you're there in the desert, but it wasn't your fault. It was my fault. This is one of my pet peeves, Ross. When the update button comes on and it kind of says to you, you know, you've been enjoying this software, you've enjoyed this product for so long, and it works fine.
Everything's been working perfectly, but click me. And I'll make it better. I swear I'll make it better. Is that what you did?
Update it to something that doesn't work. And I think what I did is I clicked the update button, and unbeknownst to me, Hinder, it had switched off my studio microphone, and I was just using the microphone on the Mac. That was no fun. Didn't realize that.
So
until...
it wasn't the fact that I was hiding in the kitchen during last broadcast that gave the quality issues.
It was actually
nice to know.
It was my fault. At least that's the story I'm giving. I mean, really what I do is I turn you down and I turn me up because I'm the more important one.
I was going to say, was it Hinda's comment or someone else that said, you know, Ross's volume is very low and yours is very
that's what Hinder said.
And I thought, well, now we know what's going on.
Hinder went on to say, I had to turn up the volume when Ross was speaking and then turn it down when Jono spoke. That's because Jono shouts into the microphone. But Hinder goes on to say, thank you.
That's not a bad – that's
full of energy.
That's not a bad idea anyway. Turn it down when you're on. Turn it up when I don't know. Maybe maybe they're onto something.
Thank you for your show, Inder said. Despite the negativity of what we hear, you both have the gift of humor. We are very funny, aren't we?
That's very nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice. I like to hear positive comments like that.
There was a long pause of when I said that we're funny. Do you not think I'm funny? There's another long pause.
Do I think you're funny?
Yes.
Absolutely, I think you're funny. I'm going to tell you, I have been sitting on pins and needles. I've been really busy in the desert, but I look conversation not only because I get lonely out here, but I mean, heck, I enjoy talking to you. It's really fun. So no, I'm glad to talk to you every week.
I thoroughly enjoy your. I mean, look, if no one else listened to this program, we still have a great time. We'd still do it. Hinder continues, the spirit of the old comedians. Well, that's interesting. Now, tell me, who are these people? Jack Benny, who's that?
Oh, come on, man. You know these people.
I'm in Australia. Like, who am I? What's the Jack Benny? I don't know who Jack Benny is. Come on.
Oh, he's an old-time comedian. These guys were clean, good, clean, fun, like you and I. We don't talk about anything edgy or racy or, you know, well, maybe Sumba. A few times here and there. But that's mostly from your end. Maybe she means to imply that I'm sort of a family-oriented comedian type. I don't know.
She says Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, Jerry Lewis, etc. Should be so proud. Listen, Hinder, thank you so much for that comment. Really do appreciate it. We also got another comment from David. This is
okay.
Not bad. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Now, we're going to get a little bit, this is a little bit of theology in this one. Are you ready to get down with a bit of theology?
Well, absolutely, Jonah. What do you got? Come
All right.
on.
All right. Because this is what David Shelton from Texas.
All right, says, Texas. I was born in Texas, by the way.
Were you really?
Yeah, absolutely. Beaumont, Texas. This is. I'm ready for this one. Go ahead.
I thought you were a Louisiana boy through and through.
No, I was raised mostly in Louisiana, but you know, Louisiana, Texas. It's that lovely southern part of the U.S. So So let's see what David says. What's
right.
he got?
This is what he says. Texan Christian here. He says. Who was a fanatical supporter of Israel. Well, thank you, first of all, to all the Christians that listen to this program and support Israel. That's a wonderful thing and something that I've become more aware of in the last year since Donald Trump moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That is, and we've spoken about that, and that is the Christian force of support. So first of all, thank you to all the Christians that listen. Love your show, he says, and Israel News Talk Radio. A comment about a program, the program that he heard today, he said on Jewish women and now men covering their hair with realistic wigs. Now, first of all, David, I have to say, I don't think really this is a trend that men are sort of catching on to. I found an article from, I think it was January 2015, that proposed a toupee style kippah for areas that experienced high levels of anti-Semitism. But for some expressions of more ultra-Orthodox Judaism, the wig over one's own hair is it's a thing. Now, David goes on to say, one thing we as Christians study is avoiding the pitfalls others have fallen into. Let's think about that for a second. Do you have a comment there, or shall we keep going?
I'm going to ask, you remember the old show, I Can Name That Tune in a Certain Number of Notes? Did they have that in Australia where they would play a couple of bars from a song and the contestants would have to vote?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say play a couple of more bars before I comment.
Okay. David continues, a prevailing view with the Jewish people is that for many of them, the, quote, letter of the law has become much more important than the spirit of the law. This issue would seem to be a classic case of this. What is the point of the hair covering mandate? Now, this is interesting, Ross, because I don't know that. I mean, that wearing a wig over one's own hair is not actually in the written Torah. It's quite literally not in the letter of the law. Neither is the kippah, for that matter. We'll get back to that because David continues. and I'm going to have to get your response after the break, but he says, isn't it to lessen the chance for a man to be tempted by a married woman? This would seem to go against the inherent or the intent of the law, a position taken, no doubt, by many more conservative rabbis. Just an observation. Again, love your show. This is a great comment. Thank you so much, David. We're going to get into the response of this after these messages. Don't go away.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Dore and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross, what do you reckon? David Shelton. G'day, David. Yes. From Texas. Texas Christian, supporter of Israel. Great guy, no doubt.
A supporter of Israel and seems like a fan of our show. So it's nice when we get these positive remarks. So, I think it sounds a little... He's talking about the pitfalls that others fall into. Many people associate the phrase letter of the law with the actual text as opposed to the spirit of the law, which is more of a free approach to the teachings of God, if that's fair. But I think his point, as I read through the comment, which I'm looking at now, he's basically saying that there is a difference in the way that this is being understood and interpreted in modern Judaism in some circles than it was intended in the Torah. But it's basically not even mentioned in the Torah, as you pointed out. So
It's an interesting thing. Now, if I remember correctly, the only real reference we have to a woman covering her hair is, and maybe I'm wrong about it, maybe you can think of others, but would be Rebecca, Abraham's servant, brings Rebecca back for Isaac, and she dismounts from the camel and covers her hair. And if I recall correctly, as far as the written Torah is concerned, that's the only reference we have to a woman covering her hair. Can you think of another?
No, but I was just thinking of that really bad joke about that being the first reference to a woman smoking, where it says she lit off her camel. Is that the text you're talking about? It's Genesis 24. It's a beautiful story. I shouldn't have done it, but I had to bring that in. You know, you can't read. Once you hear that, you have to tell it to your kids and pass it on. It's a tradition.
Such an old man joke. All right, now listen. that's it. Now, as far as men covering their hair, I think the only thing that we have, and again, I could be wrong, but we have references to the Levites and their linen turban, which I've always coveted. I'd like to have a linen turban, but I don't think there's any. So I guess what I'm saying, David, is that there's not really a commandment as far as the written text is concerned. To say that one's head should be covered. In fact, I think, does that not come out of the New Testament, Ross?
You know, it's been a while, but I believe in Corinthians, Paul talks about the covering and not covering and the shame and the, you know, maybe we should brush up on that before we tackle this. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it may well be that that Paul insists that a woman's hair should be covered, but that a man's head should not be covered. Anyway, that's it. So
it is considered by the Orthodox to be a sign of reverence and respect
and modesty.
And people, even if they're not familiar with the oral tradition as we might broadly define it, they might be familiar with it from the movie Fiddler on the Roof, where Tevye talks about why do we cover our hair tradition, and then he breaks out into that great song.
He does, remember? And I love that song. But the thing is now, and again, we need the rabbis listening to comment in. I don't even think that the covering of the hair, either male or female, is even mentioned in the oral law specifically. I think it really is an issue of modesty, and I think it is also an issue of tradition, as you say, a cultural tradition. This is our cultural expression, and as I mentioned in previous programs, for both of them, it's an expression of religious devotion. Fair?
Well, I was going to say, you know, as I think back on our show last week, do you think we got more likes and shares and comments from that show than we have in the past? It seemed like it to me.
I think
people enjoyed it.
What bothers me
about that is I was legitimately concerned about my well-being, and people were putting laughy faces on, like they thought I was trying to be funny. There's a cobra here. let me say one more thing. I happen to find in the archives here in the library, there's a reading room here, and I love this place. You know this. Mm. And so I was going through looking for another book and kind of getting an idea of what all they had here in terms of literature. And I found this account of people who founded this place. It's called Ir Ovot, The Birth of a Town in the Negev. Mm-hmm. The Negev being the southern region considered this desert area that I'm in. And there's a story in here. I don't know if I can find it quickly. I'm not going to read the entire thing, but let me just read this to you. It didn't help me any, to be honest. Okay. All right, you ready, Jonah?
Go for it.
All right, it says, Helmut, this is a German gentleman who was here, was the leader of a group that was here, had a bad experience. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
It said, Brother Helmut kept a diary about everything we experienced. Now, understand, I have walked to the library when I'm reading this, through the dark with my flashlight, and I get to this phrase. While he was writing, so Helmut is sitting there and he's writing out his diary, and it says a poisonous snake sneaked in and wounded. This is the way it's written because it's translated into English. Wounded around his leg.
Oh,
a brother whom he was sharing his caravan saw it and informed us. Brother Helmut, being paralyzed with terror, didn't venture to move or cry for help, but he cried to God in his heart, and he heard him. In an imperceptible way, the snake came, so it disappeared through a small hole in the wall. That's it. That's the story. So now look, Jonah, I have to tell you, I read this and I think, oh, dear God in heaven. So I come back to my room and I slide the beds out of the way and I pull, there are a few things stored under the beds. I carefully pull things out just to make sure that there are no holes in
holes
the wall.
In the
and, oh, man. Anyway, can you believe that? What are the chances? And I find that. So all of this seriousness about serpents and so forth, that's what we conveyed in our show in all seriousness, and people laughed at me. In fact, didn't Hinda say something about what is a real man so scared of scorpions and snakes for? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Now you said you found spiders quite fascinating. You're fine with spiders, but you're not so fond of serpents.
Yeah,
and now that you know, I mean, last week you were telling me how they, you know, if they may bite, but it's when they start chewing on you that they actually inject the venom. Now you're telling me that they wind themselves around your leg and then start chewing. Okay.
Evidently. So what? We had another comment. Stacy Smith, she's also from Texas, said, "I enjoyed the spiders, scorpions, and serpents. Oh my!" And then she puts, "Stay safe," and that is definitely what I want to do. So outstanding.
You got a few more weeks there yet.
Oh yeah.
Who knows what you're gonna experience?
Yeah, it's really a wonderful place. We've had visitors come. Various Jewish families came, not only during Sukkot, but we have people that show up from time to time and they want to take tours around the place. And I do my very best to connect them to this wonderful place and tell the story of how this was an ancient Judean fortress. And I truly love it. I go out and drink my coffee from the walls of this ancient fortress. So it's quite incredible. Beautiful. Wonderful place.
Biblical Tamar Park is where you are. If people are in Israel listening and they want to go and say good day to Ross, that's where he is.
Yeah, and look, and while you're here, you can visit my friend Ofer at the Crocodile Park.
There you go.
It's right across the street. So I took some friends, by the way. We had some visitors stop in yesterday, and they said, you know, we saw the sign about the Crocodile Park. Is that worth seeing? And I said, yeah, sure. It's wonderful. It's my friend Ofer. And so we go over there. I bring them over there and introduce them to my friend, and they go in. And it happened to be feeding time at the Crocodile Park. They feed these crocodiles. You don't have to feed them that often, once a week or depending on the time of year. So we watch them toss their food. I won't go into all the details of that, but it was sort of shocking. They had a young daughter there who sat there in amazement and a little bit of shock. She's probably having nightmares from it, but yeah, it was the feeding period. So
right. So was there in fact a feeding frenzy? There was a feeding frenzy. Can I say that?
Yeah, you know, they were more polite than I would think crocodiles would be. But if you're, as I understand it, watching these crocodiles, if you're a crocodile and you grab the baby lamb or whatever they throw in there, see, I've already told more than I should.
Are you serious?
Dead. Oh, okay. Yeah, but they're dead.
All right.
If you grab one, you have to move quick because there are hundreds of crocodiles. And so, like, you don't have time to, like, sample it and taste it and chew a little bit here. You have to take the whole thing in and eat it quickly because there are plenty of others who are looking to share that with.
Did you get some of that on footage? Yep. Did you record some of that?
I did. Oh. I did, but I posted it on Facebook, but I didn't really zoom in on it. I was so concerned that this girl was going to have nightmares. At one point, I told her, I said, "Hey, you want to go look at the baby crocodiles? You know, because that's a little more tame. It's not like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, which we used to watch." A little bit more calm.
That's great. All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go to a break. We're going to go to a break. And during that break, I'm going to go and watch this video. And we'll be back right after these coming messages. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Dear listeners, you are listening to Israel on My Mind with John Evander and Russ Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Oh, man. Oh, I'm so disappointed. Now, usually we're...
What?
No, because it's, you know, Israel on My Mind is just a, you know, it's a feel-good program, generally speaking.
Right.
But it would be neglect to not mention the sad news, I was disappointed anyhow, that Nikki Haley has resigned.
Oh, man, I saw that. I tell you what, that hit me so hard. Now, she, as I understand it, she's going to finish out the year, but she announced, I think it was yesterday or early in the week, that she's out. She has submitted her resignation, and President Donald Trump accepted that resignation. And that is a really disappointing thing for me, because she was, as you and our listeners know, one of the very, very few sane voices at this world body, the United Nations. You know, I went a couple of years ago to this Ambassadors Against BDS. And Jono, I told you at the time, when she came out on the stage, it was like a rock concert. I mean, everyone in that room stood up and cheered, and, you know, because she issued from that podium the famously now quoted often statement, "There's a new sheriff in town." And she time and time again stood against these dictators and despots at the United Nations, and basically led the charge for reform of the way things are doing, the way our country, at least, is doing business. And I think she had a great influence on other countries as well.
I think so.
She's our big hero.
She is an absolute champion, and she's going to be dearly missed. She was so pro-Israel, and she did a great job, as you say, reining in the UN.
Not just pro-Israel. Yes, that's a huge part of it. But just she brought a common sense approach to business. It wasn't business as usual. She called right, right, and wrong, wrong. And I think that's refreshing in that place, because, you know, a lot of people might say, well, she's pro-Israel. Well, she's pro very positive approach to the world and the greatest issues before us. I mean, you know, she's saying things that most sensible people believe and can cheer. And that is something like, you know, people who blow other people up in the name of their religion, this is bad, this is evil. And I think that's going to be missed, unless there's someone lurking in the background. Now, have you read, I know it's early, but, you know, the rumor mill has really been kicking in high gear here.
Okay, so who is at the top of the list, as far as you can see so far, that may be filling her shoes?
Well, that's the thing. I haven't seen a name yet as far as who might replace her, but really right now the rumors are focused on, why is she quitting? Well, why is she leaving that post?
Yeah,
you seen anything on that?
My understanding is that she has a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, and perhaps, and I don't know, but perhaps, you know, she just feels that she wants to dedicate more time to them, more family time, you know, particularly at those ages. It's important. And not only that, but she's been at this job now for some time, and I would imagine it would be a very demanding and difficult job. And maybe she's just burnt out with it. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Maybe it's a combination of both. Maybe she has future political aspirations that are yet to, that she's just, you know, getting into gear on. And she needs to step back from this to prepare for that. Who knows? What have you heard?
Yeah, some of the same. One of the things that I heard, in addition to those that you just named, she has in some occasion run into a little bit of conflict with other high-ranking officials in the current U.S. administration. One recent event that I read briefly about, they didn't go into a lot of detail, said that in her comments reflecting her view on the Iranian nuclear program, that someone in the administration issued sort of a underhand rebuke to Nikki Haley and said that she either got ahead of the curve or that she was confused, to which Nikki Haley, Ambassador Nikki Haley, responded, "I was not confused." And I like that. In other words, don't start that, you know. So was it the fact that she ran into some opposition? You know, she's an outspoken person. She's not bashful. She's made comments. She doesn't always toe the party line. And I think that's one of the reasons I like her so much, is that she's, you know, she doesn't just kowtow and suggest that, you know, we all have to have the sing from the same book, if you will. So that's one view. And then as far as the political aspirations, at least presently, she's saying, you know, I don't have any aspirations to run for the office of U.S. president, which I tell you, Jono, if she did, I'd get the T-shirt. I'd put a bumper sticker on my vehicle. Yeah. I mean, I would
you'd
be all
cap.
In.
You'd be all in. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've heard a lot of people say the same. I think she would have an enormous amount of support. Whether it would be enough to get her across the line, I don't know. But who knows? Maybe. Who knows?
Well, various pundits are looking at possibilities. Who, if she did, it's all a guessing game, but it's a fun guessing game. Who would she run with? Would she be at the top of the ticket, or would she be a vice presidential candidate? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, it's all up in the air, but it's purely speculation. It could be something as simple as, you know, that job in some ways, I can't say it's thankless because many, many people cheer her on every day. Mm. But can you imagine going into work every single day of your life and getting that snarly lipped look from countless opponents of Israel, knowing that she's going to be a strong advocate for the Jewish state and for democracy and sensibleness? So who knows? Well, or she may just want to spend time with the family.
Maybe that's what it is. But whatever she decides to do, we wish her well, and we hope that eventually she'll be back on the scene because she really is a fantastic woman and just a real friend of Israel and a great ambassador for the States. Good on you, Nikki Haley. So what else is in the news, my friend?
This actor named Gerard Butler.
Okay, so I'm looking at him now, and he does look kind of familiar. What has he been in? What would I know him from?
Did you happen to see the movie 300, you know, with King Leonidas? And it's this there's a lot of, what do they call that, where they digitize, and it's really this incredible story about these 300 warriors that defended, you know, in this great battle, and all the men are built like you and I. They have a six pack stomach. They run around with no shirt. You know what I'm saying? Just men.
Right.
So like when you go there, when you finish watching this movie, this is one example. You just feel like you want to do some sit ups. You know, it's one of those that right. inspires you.
Now this guy's a Scottish actor.
He was born, I think, in Scotland. But he comes from Irish origin. So speaking of Ireland, good day to Jason.
G'day, Jason. Buddy in Jewish Dublin walking tours, so, Jason.
Yeah. I saw he just kicked off he's taking reservations now for 2019.
Yeah,
so.
It's going really well. Jewish Dublin walking tours. Yep. So this guy, Gerard Butler. Yeah, what's he doing?
Yeah. Okay, so he's been in a lot of movies. Phantom of the Opera, Law Abiding Citizen, Bounty Hunter. Very much awarded actor. So the story is, in his most recent film, as a result of that, he is going to Israel for an Israeli film festival at the invitation of the producer, the director.
Huh.
And you know how BDS, these people from BDS make a big effort to discourage people from coming, you know, and they tell them, oh, you shouldn't support this Zionist regime. And he said nobody messed with him. He didn't get any. That's probably because they saw that movie and they're scared of it.
Really? Is that right? So we got no opposition whatsoever.
None.
Okay. None. So now I'm looking at an article here in, what's this, Israel Hayom. He's saying, I love this country.
Yeah, he likes to. He said he gets on a motorcycle. He just rides and he enjoys the scenery. He said he has a lot of friends here. And he said, you know what? I might, he said this, and remember Roseanne Barr said the same. I might just move there. Who knows? I think he's calling out this BDS group. Like, come on, what you got? Talk to me. Tell me what you think, because he doesn't care.
Well, I mean,
these people, if they've seen 300, they're going to be scared to death. He's going to, like, whack them with a sword or something.
What else? Hey, here's one. The Jerusalem Post. Archaeologists unearth 2,000-year-old Hebrew Jerusalem inscription. Seems to be a column drum dating to the Herodian period. And they're saying it's the first written evidence of the name Jerusalem found.
On stone from this period.
Okay.
Yeah. See, it said that they have found in the past coins with Jerusalem written, but it's written in Aramaic and you know, but this
and
is
scrolls,
the exact spelling. Like if you went to Jerusalem today, it's spelled Jerusalem just as it's written and pronounced today. And it's written in Hebrew characters on this stone. So this is just yet another proof. You know, in the Psalms, it says truth will spring forth from the earth. It's at every turn, almost weekly, we find things in the news that just solidifies the Jewish presence in the homeland here in Israel. And now it's quite amazing.
They revealed this just the other day, Tuesday, at a press conference at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. I'm hoping that, because we're going to the Israel Museum this coming tour, we're probably going to be able to see this.
That would be wonderful.
We've run out of time, my friend. That's it for this week. We're done with the show.
Are we through already?
We're through already, I'm pretty sure.
Man. Boy, I can't wait to see you, Jonah. You're going to be here in just a couple of weeks, aren't you?
I will be, and we'll be doing, as I said, our Tanakh tour, doing it again next year. You can find the details at truthtoyou.org. That's truth number two, letter u.org, and we would love to see you there. Until then, dear listeners, next week, this time next week, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
This is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.